Hi, Bob.
This is Ross. I'm here. Jack.
Jack.
Steve Berner.
Steve. Anybody else? Okay, we'll give it a couple of minutes here and make sure, see if anybody else joins us, and then we'll get started. So just so you're aware, I'm in Olympia here. I'm in a room with myself. Kurt Hughes is here, and Kyle Addix and Aaron Dufault are also in the room.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy.
Hey, Kurt, how'd you get back across the border?
FedEx.
In handcuffs. I'm still walking funny.
Barb and Lila here.
Okay. So, yeah, just in case anybody didn't catch that, Barb and Lyle are back at our Montesano office listening in as well. Did someone just join us?
Andy.
All right, we'll just give it one more minute or so. Oh, did someone just join us?
This is Marlisa.
Oh, hi Marlisa, glad you got my message. Did someone just join us?
Yeah, this is Norm.
Okay. Glad you could make it, Norm. So, who just joined us?
This is Greg.
Greg?
This is Tim.
And Tim. Okay. So we got 9 of the 13, and I think I pretty much called everybody this afternoon, and I think that was about all who was going to be able to join us. So I think we'll go ahead and get started. First off, I'd like to apologize for the late notice on this, or the short notice on getting this together, and really appreciate you guys being able to do that within a couple hours, so thank you for that. What I wanted to do today is just kind of update you guys on where we are from hatchery rack reports and everything that we've gone through over the week, and kind of sum that up, as well as a report on the commercial fishery that was prosecuted today. And then we'll talk a little bit about next steps and take your guys' input on that. So first I'll start off with the hatchery information. In the email that I sent out to you guys today, there was an attachment. I won't go through all of it, but long story short is that after what we've spawned to date, as of this morning, we still need 1,839 Chinook females to reach hatchery broodstock. We have gone through and sorted all the ponds and the traps and the in-river holding areas, and we have 2,471 Chinook females on hand. NEMA yesterday was a very good spawn. We ended up spawning 288 females, so took about 900,000 eggs, so almost a third of the way to our production, so that's really good. We're still seeing some mortality and some icked up, fungused up fish at NEMA, so that's a little bit of a concern. But overall, from a bay-wide perspective, we're 650 females more than what we need for egg take, so we're starting to feel a pretty good level of comfort there. Anybody have any questions about any of that?
Where are you sitting in nacelle?
In nacelle is where we've got the biggest issue. We need an additional 849 females, and we have 271 on hand. Like I referenced in our conference call yesterday, we still got about 1,000 fish sitting below the weir. Stock assessment folks are doing those surveys today and tomorrow, so we'll have a better number on that. I do know that about 20 fish recruited to Nacelle Hatchery yesterday evening. Out of those 20 fish, six of them were females, and they were all ripe, and they went ahead and spawned them streamside right there. So that's why the nacelle egg take number went up a little bit from what we talked about the day before. And what's also of note here that's interesting is that at Forks Creek and at NEMA, at Forks Creek and NEMA, we're seeing sex ratios of about 1-to-1, 50%. And at Nacelle, that sex ratio is only about 30% female. So for some reason, Nacelle is giving us a lot less females than the other areas. Any other questions?
Overall, hands on hand is going to be enough to backfill for Nacelle.
Yes. Between NEMA and between Forks, we will have enough to backfill for whatever we end up being short at Nacelle, and that is covered in the future brood document that outlines those facilities as backfills for any shortages of Nacelle production for Chinook.
What was the wild count to date for NEMA? How many did we put up yesterday?
Overall, to date, I have 242 Chinook put above NEMA so far. And thank you, Marlisa, for that number.
What is our conservation goal there at the NEMA?
I believe it's 250, so I think we're just about to escapement for a NEMA.
Good.
Yeah, no, I don't see that as an issue at all. I want to say somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 to 275. I don't have it right in front of me. Apologize for that.
I thought it was 246.
It may be. I know it's in the two. It's around 250, somewhere in that neighborhood. So of those 242 that we've put upstream, 70 of them are 63 are females.
And the north count.
What's that? Nor count in Nacelle is 118 to date, with 53 of these being female. So that's something I didn't touch on, is the sex ratio information from Nacelle that's different from everywhere else. The natural origin sex ratio is not matching that either. So.
So we're way short on Nors and Nacelle. Is that not correct?
Well, as we sit here today, that number would be lower than where we've been, 2015, 16, and 17. Yeah.
Chad, this is Ross. What is the conservation standard that we have now, the scientific standard? I think Kurt mentioned we still have some. What is the scientific standard for moving eggs from one river to another?
Well, in the future brood document, we have identified Willapa and NEMA as potential backfills for any shortage at Nacelle. In the additional HSRG document that was published about Willapa Bay, one of the recommendations was to stop the backfilling. That came out prior to our genetic baseline analysis, which would really suggest that there is little to no difference, and if there is any difference, it's undetectable between Willapa River Chinook and Nacelle River Chinook. Now, we don't know what that used to look like. That's a one-time snapshot, but that is what the genetics data would suggest.
And in terms of going forward, as we're working to rebuild these natural origin populations, obviously, the hatchery production is also on an aspirational goal of achieving a situation where we don't need to backfill, and we would be hesitant to backfill in any given year. If we were close, we'd probably call it good. But if we're falling short by a substantive amount, then we still have that as an an option.
Okay, along those lines, the earmark in the budget that the legislature and the governor signed said we would increase nasal production, provided that we could follow HSRG standards. And so how do you square this with that?
So that's more in the context of the numbers, the proportionality related to NORS and HORRORS. And that doesn't have a reference point to the backfill that you're asking about. So that's the total production level that we have.
So you're talking PHOS and PNOB and that kind of stuff?
And PNI, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, if we don't have any more questions on that, I'll move on to the commercial information. So low tide was today at about 9:30 this morning, somewhere in that neighborhood. In 2T, we had 10 boats out fishing. Of those 10, we had 3 observers out there. We had a total harvest so far of 23 coho. Most of these, almost everybody's off the water by this point in time. We had 2 Chinook encounters and 3 chum, so that would give us an encounter ratio, like we were discussing yesterday, of 7.1%, so much lower than what we were talking about as a trigger for doing, being too high. And in 2N, we had 5 boats out fishing. We had 2 observers on board. In terms of what we observed on those commercial fishing boats, there were only 5 coho harvested, no Chinook, no chum. So from that standpoint, I think we're feeling pretty secure that there's very minimal impacts left in the saltwater in relation to Chinook. So any questions on that data?
So, Chad, this is Norm. Would that suggest that the bulk of the Chinook run is already passed and that what we have there in the rivers is all we're going to get?
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. Obviously, we still get a few natural origin fish trickling in all the way through November, but I think we can safely say that the majority of the Chinook have passed, and what we have in freshwater is what we're going to end up with.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask this question, Tim.
Okay.
What I'm seeing here is the bays not got any fish in it. Not much coho and not much Chinook. And what I'm concerned about here is this is an indication that we've got a problem possibly coming with coho very shortly.
So that's one way to look at it. Another way, we're still pretty early for coho. We had good indications earlier. We had good recruitment to both fisheries earlier, and we have some coho in freshwater as well as recruiting to some of the hatchery racks. We do have an in-season update. A run size update for coho that operates off the catch per unit effort of the commercial fishery. That model really gets precise when we start moving into week 40 and much better in stat week 41. We've worked on starting to get that model seeded. Given the data that we've collected to date, once we enter that into the model, since those catches were so good at the beginning, I think it would kick us out a run size that would be much, much higher than we in all likelihood are likely to end up with. Every indication that we have right now is our preseason forecast is our best look, and we have to move forward with that until we have information that we have something different.
One comment on that, Chad, is that there's another answer to this, and that is the reason why we had such good numbers coming in through harvest earlier on was called, now it's back down, is that the run was coming a little early and it peaked, and we're on the backward side. So you can look at that information two different ways, and what I think you're doing is saying that we have a process of making certain determinations, and the process isn't complete, so we're going to not consider anything till some other late date. Is that correct?
So this is Kurt. So I think there's a number of things to consider with this, the way this fishery season is shaping up in the context of the commercial fishery. We've had some shots of weather, rain, that move fish through pretty quickly. I think that the commercial fleet got on some of those fish, and you know, I think that it could be that there's a bit of a lull in what's coming in the bay right now in the areas where that we opened. We were precautionary in opening T and N and not going into U and M until we saw what kind of Chinook numbers we had. It could be that those coho are further in the bay and that more will come. As Chad said, more will come over the course of the typical return timing. So that's another way to look at it as well, Tim. So I think there's quite a number of different interpretations that one could have. And I think Chad's perspective is we have some information in hand, and the precautionary approach based on that information would also suggest that using the preseason forecast as our metric for decision-making is a safe bet at this time.
Also, one other thing, or just Bob, that, you know, we only missed our escapement on coho 1 year in about the last 30. So that needs to be taken into consideration, too. These silvers, they come in two different shots. And hopefully the lates will show up, you know, earlier. But there's some years we don't see them till the second week of November either. That's a possibility on the lake. So, but from what I've heard so far, North River had a good shot of silvers go through with the kings. There were a few kings went through, and the silvers was in North River, and they shot through. So, and the same thing happened in the Willapa, the Nacelle, and the Nema. I'm not sure because there's not that many coho released out of the Nema. But
well, and thanks,
I don't
Bob.
Think they have any fear about meeting an escapement going to coho.
Thanks, Bob. I guess the other comment I'd have is we made some assumptions about what our effort might be, and those are much less than the model would predict for sure. I think Chad's numbers say 15 boats participated total, and that's far less than what we've had in a historic pattern. So that dispersal of the fleet and the lack of catches might be an artifact of the effort. I think that, as you know, Bob kind of indicated, these coho in Willapa aren't something that the commercial fishery, in even its heyday, was able to really have a significant impact, because I think at the time of year when they're coming through, we typically have these weather patterns that will pull fish into the fresh water. And it's Chinook that are problematic because they'll stack up and wait for the rain. And then if we go in without having had a shot of rain, then those Chinook are much more susceptible. So I think that there's a number of reasons why we could see a drop off in the catch to date. And the precautionary approach is to look at the preseason forecast and the structured schedule that was based on that.
This is Jack. I'm going to make a comment here. I fished the Willapa since 77, and the last week and a half, 2 weeks of September, the coho catches always dropped off. I mean, this is when, if you're going to take some time off with the family, this is when you did it, because it was nothing until the later, coho started coming in with the chum, first part of the chum in October. So if you go back to the archives, look up our catches,
Saturday.
I think you'll find right now is a blank spot Saturday anyway. So, to me, this is natural. This is the way it's been just about every year. The only time we've ever caught a substantial amount of coho the end of September, last week and a half or so, is when there was and big, Monday. Big runs. Otherwise, they just,
M&U,
it's between runs. Like Bob Monday. Said, we're at the end of the early run of coho, and now we've got to wait so for the later ones to start in.
MNT, MNT.
This is Marlisa. Go ahead.
I guess I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in on you there. So I feel like, you know, we definitely have an early run on coho, and we have a later portion that comes in November and December, and my NEMA run coho are completely missing the early run due to mismanagement of the hatchery.
It's not your run of coho on the NEMA.
Well, it is the NEMA run of early coho, and it's gone. So we are getting a few wild and hatchery strays coming up the river now for the first time again in 3 or 4 years since that run has been taken out. And I think that I'd like to know, Chad, our forecasted commercial catch for right now, how far under that are we? What did you project that they should catch, and what did they catch?
Are you speaking in terms of coho or in terms of Chinook?
Coho.
Okay. We went over that yesterday, but I'd be happy to do it again really quick here. But I'm gonna go through this really quick because there's some other stuff we want to talk about. So so far to date through the fishery for natural origin, they have harvested 11,024. Their prediction was for 260, so well over the prediction for NORS. For HORs, they have harvested 1,944, and the prediction was 1,389. So the early that's why I referenced that if I seed those numbers into the CPU model, they're going to point to a run size that's going to be really large. I think we need more data to seed that model before it'll give us any sort of accurate picture. And obviously, the precision of that model increases as we move through time.
Okay.
So,
I'm happy with that.
Okay, I want to.
Well,
hold on, Marlisa, I'm on a time constraint here, so I'd really like to get to the heart of the call. So what we are considering, given all this data to date, what we are considering doing is making a change to the commercial fishery for tomorrow. We would open up M and U. Tomorrow you would have T, U, N, and M open for 12-hour openings. We would replicate that for Monday as well. We will continue to monitor at the same level and be on top of it in terms of evaluating to see if, you know, we're having heavy Chinook encounters. The regulations would not change, only retention of Chinook, coho and chum. And then secondly, we have... We want to get your guys' thoughts on the recreational fishery in freshwater. Given what we have on hand at the hatchery and the numbers of coho that we're seeing in lower sections, we want to have some conversation about opening the freshwater, maybe this weekend, maybe on Monday, with some sort of similar Chinook retention, maybe going with a 1-fish bag limit or a 2-fish bag limit, but release all Chinook. So that's kind of the proposal that's on the table. Yesterday, we went in reverse alphabetical order.
So today, might we start in the middle with Marlisa?
There we go.
Sure. I would like to see the NEMA reopen for a 2-fish Chinook bag limit. We've met our conservation needs. We have, I was there yesterday helping spawn. We've got enough fish that we're going to meet our hatchery escape and goal and have eggs to share. So I think that is a good plan. I'll leave it up to you to decide. I don't think Nacelle should be open if they don't have what they need there. And if Forks Creek has what they need, and they've met their conservation goal as well, then I think you should open up the Willapaw freshwater.
Norm?
Yeah, I don't, Chad, as long as we're going to continue the close monitoring of the fishery with observers and whatnot, I don't have a problem with the plan.
Ross?
I'm not comfortable with the answers to conservation questions, especially with NORS, which just seem to be getting short shrift here. I would abstain, except for the stabilizing streams. I think the stabilizing streams are healthy enough to put some more fresh water in there. The rest, I'm just not comfortable with the lack of stress on conservation.
So,
well, that's the way I would do it.
Okay, thank you, Ross.
So those are the streams that were scheduled to open October 1. So you don't have a preference on opening those 2 days early to match up with other fresh water?
Okay. No, but those aren't the only streams. The NEMA is a stabilizing stream also.
Roger that.
Yep.
Steve?
Well, I'd like to see North River have its traditional opening and wherever you think that we can have a two-fish bag limit and fresh water elsewhere without jeopardizing anything, I guess I could live with.
Tim?
Well, I have a lot of mixed emotions about this, but I'm more concerned than others, I guess, about coho. We heard this same exact explanation last year, and I don't think we got to coho or a coho escapement last year. We're in a state of denial. We look at data. We refuse to always make the assumption that the indicators in the data are favorable to harvest, but we never look the other direction. There's an emphasis there that makes me very nervous, and I'll leave it up to you guys. I'm not going to endorse any proposal to increase harvest when you're not certain you're going to get angry. You're not certain if you, in fact, you're deadly certain you're going to get fewer doors than bought. And you got to ask yourself, with what we're seeing right now, man, I'd have a tough time as a businessman going out and investing in fishing with such low rates of return. So I don't know what we're gaining for anybody, but I'll leave that all up to you guys. But I'm with Ross. I'm not going on the record supporting this. I can't do that. I'm sorry.
Andy?
Are you there, Andy?
Yeah. No, there we go. Like I said, the commercial fleet, there's not many guys here, easy to monitor. If you have your fish in your freshwater, you know, why would you not open it? If you know you have your egg case, okay, there would be no reason, maybe a one-fish hatch, one-fish coho bag, until you know the kings have cleared. Yeah, I don't know what you want to do there, but if you got them, I mean, certainly they should have some opportunity, I suppose. As far as the commercial fishery goes, you don't have a fleet, so I would suggest just keeping it right on open through the weekend. Okay? We're not hurting anything. You got your numbers. There are no Chinook here. I haven't caught one yet all day. Okay? So we're not hurting anything. We're getting priority on the coho that we're supposed to have priority on. So I would think it should just stay open instead of even close it for the weekend. As far as what you're going to do with the fresh water, I guess you're just going to have to assess each river individually.
Bob?
I got one question. Is Lyle still on here?
Lyle?
Yeah, he's here.
I'm here.
Hey, Lyle, have you done a spawner survey from the hatchery down to the home place?
Are you talking on the NEMA or the NACEL?
NACEL.
Yes, I have. Last 2 weeks.
What did it look like? How many reds we got in there now?
We had 33 reds this week. We had 9 last week. And we had, I think it was just over 1,000 Chinook that are staging between the weir and the power lines, and just over 100 coho mixed in with them.
Okay, thanks. My only question on the freshwater fishery would be to open the nacelle from the Highway 4 bridge to the hatchery because of the reds that are working in there, because there's a good number. And he's going to get probably double that next week, this coming week, so I'd like to see that remain closed, but the rest of the freshwater fishery, I don't see any problem with what you guys want to do. But also, I got to agree with what Andy said, but I also would like to see us stretched out to the 14th of October, because we have not had a very lucrative fishery, period. And there's not too many chum being caught either. So that tells me the chum aren't in the bay yet either. So, that's about all I got.
Greg?
Yeah, I had a question. I didn't get to ask. Is the department, as you as managers that are managing this fishery, are you guys worried about the coho fishery?
I think as we sit here today, the best information we have is the preseason forecast.
Like we've already lost 4 days or either 3 or 4 days out of our fishery this week, that I think the fishery, for what we've caught, you've got Chinook in the river, you're feeling good about that, then I think you need to run this fishery, and I'm with Andy on it. It needs to run. We're already down 4 days, or 3 or 4 days, I can't, whatever it is, I think it's 3 days, excuse me, 3 days, we need to tack those days on. And I'd say keep it open through the weekend. I mean, you manage it every day. You know, you're not going to get surprised. You've got people on the boat. We've got a small fleet. You know, I mean, come on. Let's go fishing. Let's try to salvage something out of the season. You know, so if you're not worried about it right now, then let's run it. And then we ran all the other fisheries. We ran all the recreational fisheries off the pre-planning model, and now all of a sudden it's changed in the last week, and everybody wants to take it out of our butt. So I'm tired of my butt. I don't have much of one, so I'm tired of getting chewed on. Now we need to run our fishery. Thank you.
Jack?
I say run the fishery. I agree with what Andy and Bob said. Our fleet is a small. We can't catch the run. We used to have, I don't know, 75, 80 boats out at Toka, and we couldn't catch the silvers. It just couldn't hurt the run. So I say, let us fish as many days as you feel comfortable with. The sports, I feel you need to consider each river and its own on its basis. If there's silver there and you got your kings, then I see that the sport fishery could go ahead. But fresh water should be assessed river by river for the Chinook intake. That's it.
Thanks, everyone. Did we have someone else join the line here?
It was me. Sorry, I had to, my call got dropped. This is Marlisa.
Oh, no worries. You guys probably heard yesterday when I managed to drop myself like 3 times, so it happens. Oh, was that a Lance?
That's me.
Oh.
Hey, you're just in time. You're the next one on the list alphabetically.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I've been here the whole time, but like a ghost. But the, I think if we look back in history, and even as we look back at last year at our coho run, I think we killed 7,000 or something like that. So the one thing that the one thing, like Jack was saying, Stefan, having fished here for 30-some years, we've never stopped these fish. I'm sure we're going to get our egg take on coho. That's not an issue. We've got no fleet left. The only issue that I have is I'm afraid I'd like to see us try to go back to protecting these Chinooks as they get up to some point in the river, whether it be the power line or the bridge or the other bridge on the Nema, or I don't know what you have on Forks Creek, but going forward, I think we need to really look at those fish get all the way back to there, and they need some protection. I think they should have got protection this year. We wouldn't have been in this issue. I think that's why you have, as you look at the nacelle numbers and you go, we had almost a 50-50 on natural fish that we put up, but yet we've only got 30% on our hatchery fish. And having gone up there and watched that fishery, it's very evident as to why that has happened. We don't want to address it, but the fishers that are there for one reason, and that's to take eggs. That's what we've watched them do. So I think you need to look at that as the future comes upon us and we come into shortages on bad runs. I'm not opposed to opening it up when we know we've got our egg take and we know we've got what we need to go ahead and open that fishery up. But to not protect those fish when they're stuck in those holes like they are now, I think this is not conservation-minded. But you go ahead and manage it however you want to manage it. That's your job, and good luck.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for once again joining us on such short notice. A great turnout, so really pleased with that. Thank you for all your valuable input. As always, we will sit down and decompress all this and take a look through all the information and make a decision, and I'll try to reach back out to you guys and follow up with what that is as soon as possible. Thank you.
Bye.